chatter, fiddle-doo. I'm going where them chilly winds don't blow. Winds don't blow, winds don't blow. I'm going where them chilly winds don't blow. See her lying in the shade, counting every dime I made. I'm broke and I'm so hungry too. Hungry too, hungry too. I'm broke and I'm so hungry too. Well, I'm marrying me a wife. She's been in trouble all my life. She turned me out in the cold rain and snow. Rain and snow. Thank you. I'm going to play a song that I learned last summer up in the mountains of West Virginia. I do a lot of traveling around the Appalachian Mountains, and one of the greater livelihoods up there is mining coal mining. In the past 10 or 20 years, they developed a process called strip mining, which instead of digging under the mountain to get the coal out, they just blow the side of the mountain off with little regard to the people who live there or even the little critters and wildlife and trees and stuff. They just blow it all away. Make it easy. So there was a little boy and his family who lived on this farm up there. For generations, they farmed the land, and one year about 10 or 15 years ago, the strip mining company came and said, well, y'all got to go. We're going to blow up the land so we can get the coal out. And they didn't have enough money to stay, so they were forced to leave. You know, after generations of working their land, they were thrown off in about 6 weeks. So the little boy was 15 years old at the time, and he wrote this song about it. I think it's on its way to becoming a real great folk song, probably going to be sung for generations to come. It's called the Spider Song. I come from the mountains, that rolling land. I once was happy, but now I'm sad. That mining company took away my home, bought all the land, and now it's gone. There's no more sparrows, there's no more trees. I moved to the city, there'd be a job for me. I'll cut my roots, I'll work in the mill, while the mining company destroys my hill. $800 would have saved my land, but that banker, Lord, was a mining man. There's no more time, is all I had to say. Now I gotta leave here, Lord, in 6 months. more days. I told the spider to move her web. I told the sparrow to move her nest far over the mountains to where the land is green, where there ain't no bankers, no mining machines. I told the spider to move her web. I told the sparrow to move her nest far over the mountains to where the land was green, where there ain't no bankers, no mining machines. Thank you.
Well, I want to play one for all the kids out there. Got any kids out there? Raise your hands. Come on now, everybody should have their hands up. I'm going to play a tune on the saw. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because I know that everyone here has heard it at least a couple times. From a movie that I'm sure all of you have seen at least once. I got one more tune for you this afternoon. I hope you've enjoyed the annual folk festival this year. I tell you, I've only been here 3 years, but if it keeps getting better and better, I don't know, I might come up here one year and never leave.
It sure would be.
Here's a good tune kind of to close a set with. This is a Pete Seeger song. It's kind of a good thing to say when it's my time to go. It's called Well May the World Go. If you want to stomp around and carry on and roll in the mud, by all means do it. You can bathe in the Suwannee River afterwards. Sounds good, huh?
may the world go, the world go, the world go. May the world go when I'm far away. Well, may the swimmers learn, skiers turn, lovers burn. Peace may the generals learn when I'm far away. But may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away. May the fiddle sound, the banjo play the old down. Dancers swinging round and round when I'm far away. But may the world go, the world go, the world go. And may the world go when I'm far away. May the breezes blow clear, may the streams flow blue above and green below when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. And may the world go when I'm far away.
Thank you very much. We'll see y'all next year, I hope. I pray. Thank you.
Let's give him another hand. Isn't he great? And I told him I was especially glad that he played that musical saw. Wasn't that nice? Yeah. Well, daylight's a-burning. We've been here since Friday night. And we're kind of looking on down the road. Somebody asked me if we were going to do a show tonight. And I said, well, if we did, it would strip my gears. I don't get tired until it's all over. We have a very unique performer here. He's going to play the diddly bow. Now, the diddly bow goes back in time to Africa, and man's need to make music. And I'm sure in ancient times, Dwight, you want to come over here and talk about the diddly bow? This wonderful player here, Moses Williams, is from Waverly, Florida. That's down in Polk County. He's a vegetable picker and a fruit picker. And goes all over the country. Last year, we couldn't catch up with him, so we couldn't have him here. We had him here the year before. And we're very excited about him and what he does. His instrument, you see, is a board with a string on it, held out at the top by that can, and down at the bottom with a bottle. And he notes it. But he's originally from Mississippi, where there are other Afro-Americans who make similar music, although I never have seen another one, just Moses. Let's hear him and have him play his instrument. Moses Williams with the diddly bow.
Good evening, y'all. Happy evening to y'all. catfish swimming in the deep blue sea. Said I have many woman fishing after me, fishing after me. Till I went to my boyfriend's house and I started down on a stair. Oh, she's a walker in chain, now you know why. Oh, but you're not there. To the western, to that old western hill. Said I love the woman, Lord. Hope I always will. Said I went to my baby's house, did I? Sorry, down on a stair. She's a walking kid, man, you know. Church house, and I fell out on my knee to pray. Said I fell out on my knees. Not a word I could say. Not a word I could say. Do you want a baby, Lord? Call over in your bed. Said I'll make you remember. Oh, yeah, back, baby. Baby, please don't go. Tell the way I love you. You'll never know. Come back, baby. Can we talk to her one more time? Baby, don't break up my home. You know I'm gonna miss you. When you're gone, come back, baby. Can we call the world one more time? waiting, my baby. Been you waiting, my baby. Oh. Why did you stop by here? Why did you keep on down that road? Never love, signed never love, for three women in my whole life. Father, that's my mama, sweetheart in my a woman by the name of Irene. She had a T-ball carburetor. And she didn't burn too much gasoline. Cadillac carburetor and she burned too much gasoline. Now I'm gonna find my baby. Gonna find my baby. It's the end, it was all well. Said it might be tomorrow. Said it might be tomorrow. But some of these old lonesome. Always wonder, as I always wonder, why the woman should treat me this way. I wanna find my baby. Lord, she be with another man. Say, when I find my baby. Lord, ain't gonna wear that 44 no more. I say when I get where I'm going, I'm right at 44 no more. Say when I get worried, Lord, I sure don't know where to go. I gotta talk to you, baby, Lord. Somehow, what you really know.
All right.
All right, I won't tell you this. We love you.
I got you on tape too. I'm glad you got a chance to come back.
All right, you all listen. He's going to be right up there in the folk life area. So for a little bit, and if you want to hear some more, why, and see his instrument close too, maybe you want to go home and make one. But it never could play it the way he's playing it. But he's going up to the folk life area. But we want to thank you, and we don't want you to go off now so we can't find you next year, because we want you right back here, don't we? Well, have you had a good time?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we sure do like you. And we want you to be around forever. Good. And we want to thank Dwight Devane for finding you and bringing you. And here's a good old trooper, Lance Lazenby. He's filling in some people that haven't shown, and that's the nice thing about him. He's not temperamental. So he just leaping into the breach the way I do. And I want to call for Ed Fleming up the hill. Ed, don't you know you're supposed to be down here pretty quick?
He sees you.
I talked to some people I knew back there a minute ago. I said, hey, I got a chance to come out again and sing a little. What do you think? But I'm out anyway. When I was a child, my family would travel down to western Kentucky where my parents were born. There's a backward old town that is often remembered so many times that my memories are warm. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Well, sometimes we'd travel right down the Green River to an abandoned old prison down by Acre Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. The coal company came with the world's biggest shovel. They tortured the timber and stripped all the land. They dug for their coal till the land was forsaken and wrote it all down as the progress of man. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul drift on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting, just 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay. I'm sorry, my son. As simple as a song should be or not, but I have a harder time remembering my own songs and doing them right than I do anybody else's. So I'll try to limp through it. I wrote this thing because I thought about the Suwannee and coming up here. And the Suwannee is an endangered body of water like a lot of other things are in this day of too many human bodies and dwindling resources. So this is just a little nursery story. Now hush, kids, and listen, come gather round me, and I'll give you a lesson in biology. About critters and people like me and like you, and a few of the weird things that they sometimes do. Have you ever been boating and looked in the sea, and seen the bluefish in a feeding frenzy? Mouths crammed full of fish till they're likely to throttle. Some of us do the same thing, except we use a bottle. So bluefish or human, pray can you tell me which is the wise one and which the dummy? Now see the box turtle crawl on the highway, bound by his instinct as he plods on his way. At the oncoming truck he pulls into his shell, so the essence of turtlehood sounds his death knell. And see folks around you who so often say, it can't happen here, not to me, not today. With their tails in the air and their heads in the sand, to be flattened by forces they won't understand. So turtle or people, pray can you tell me which is the wise one and which the dummy? Third spasm. Now see a few microbes in a big culture dish with more than enough room to grant every wish. But the germs start dividing in such mindless haste that they foul their own nest and die in their own waste. And see nearby cities, once just as well blessed, drain most of their water and poison the rest. Now they're reaching for the Suwannee to take her away, through a million commodes and into Tampa Bay. Now microbes and humans, they're doing about as well, but fools that ruin rivers should be shipped straight to hell. It's about over, folks. But keep in mind, kiddies, that you needn't be fools. Use your God-given minds and learn nature's rules. Read your books and find out what your forebears did wrong. Then you'll never resemble the slobs in this song. Thank you.
One more.
Okay. Oh, thank you for reminding me. Okay, for my last number, after which you will return to some good music. Oh, I know it. I'm just kidding. Here's a traditional bluegrass thing that's really a modern English song that came across not too long ago at all. She walks through the corn leading down to the river. Her hair shone like gold in the hot morning sun. She took all the love that this poor boy could give her and left me to die like fox on the run. Like fox on the run. Now everybody knows the reason for my fall. Woman tempted man back in paradise fall. This woman tempted me and she took me for a ride. Like the lonely fox, boys need a place to hide. She walks through the corn leading down to the river. Her hair shone like gold in the hot morning sun. She took all the love that this poor boy could give her and left me to die like fox on the run. Like fox on the run. We'll drink a glass of wine, boys, fortify our soul. We'll talk about the world and all the friends we used to know. I see a string of girls who have put me on before. The game is nearly over and the hounds are at the door. She walks through the corn leading down to the river. Her hair shone like gold in the hot morning sun. She took all the love that this poor boy could give her and left me to die like fox on the run. Like fox on the run. Thank you.
Page 60 and 441. Yes, indeed. And what have you got down there? Well, you've got a plenitude of Stuckey signs and a squashed armadillo or two. Standard Oil Service Station used to be a union, a pure oil station. And then right at one corner of the crossroads, there's a Desert Inn Cafe, a legendary place. The Desert Inn Cafe. Downstairs, dining room with the walls paneled in Pecky cypress and Dade County pine wood. Vintage stuff. The walls festooned with frontier memorabilia. Paper plates embossed with the portraiture of Harry Truman and George Patton. They sell belt buckles about the size of a Louisiana license tag, chrome plated and in bas relief on the front of the belt buckle is a heraldic reproduction of an 18-wheeled tractor-trailer diesel rig pulling up that last great grade into the blue beyond, underneath of which is embossed in 48-point Gothic script the legend, "My daddy is a truck driver." First time I came to Yeehaw Junction, I flat knew it all. I was a college boy, headed to Miami to squire some debutantes around in some of those uptown soirees. Had a couple of shotguns with me. I'd been poaching ducks in the Everglades on the way down. That's a way of getting them, ma'am, not of cooking them. Well, I'd been and come. I was coming back, and I loved that automobile I was driving, a little four-cylinder Austin Healey. I'd named it Clytemnestra. Glad to see we have some Greek scholars in the crowd today. I named it Clytemnestra because that son of a gun tried to kill me some too many times. One time it followed me right into the shower and tried to run over me. Well, they taught us a lot of good stuff in college. They taught me enough to name a recalcitrant sports car after a Greek harridan. But they didn't teach us anything in college about greasing the wheel bearings of an Austin Healey. Clytemnestra was a real good automobile. It ran 144,000 miles on one lube job. I got to Yeehaw Junction, the left front wheel started to come right off the spindle. I pulled in there to the Pure Oil Station. The old boy came out, and he walked up to Clytemnestra, and he said, is that thing American? I said, sir, this is an English Austin Healey. Well, I can't fix it. I ain't got no wrenches will fit them wildcat nuts. That was my introduction to Yeehaw Junction. And ever since then, I've longed to go back. And when I became of age, I went back and I celebrated by going to the Desert Inn Cafe. And there was a legendary lady there at that time who I wrote a song about. But when I wrote the song, I couldn't use her real name because her husband was also a recalcitrant sort. He was a permanent resident at Rayford Penitentiary and a mama's boy to boot. And when the female relatives would indulge him and send him several cartons of Chesterfields, well, he'd raffle off half of the smokes and then take the money and let out a contract on her from behind the prison walls. I can divulge her name now. It was Julie, because in the years intervening, both she and the recalcitrant husband have been remanded to the firmament where their acrimony lights up the western sky like the aurora borealis. They are out there somewhere in hillbilly heaven. Her name was Julie, but when I wrote the song, I called her Mama Blue. It's out of tune. Now, this is the last show, and by gosh, I'm going to do it in tune. That's the last guitar I'll ever buy at a Stucky stand. Have you ever seen such inlay work? Can you imagine anybody doing that with pralines and honey nougat? Isn't that something? Hard times do not scare me at all. If I can't play this thing for a living, I'll eat it.
Kissimmee River near the Okeechobee Slough lies the town of Yeehaw Junction. That's the home of Mama Blue. She pulled down the pike from Keenansville on the prod from Holapaw. A scratching a big bull gator and a standing off the law. Mama Blue, Mama Blue, you pixie, you. Hear the lonely native speculate, she's a saintly shooting star. She's passing primly down the pike with her fireflies in a jar. You can catch her of an evening by the Collier County Mail, in the Chuckalusky Township by the Tamiami Trail. Mama Blue, Mama Blue, you pixie, you. Well, it's 29 miles of coffee and my big rig flying high. Pulling bulldog double low, riding sobbing on the sky. I'll meet my lily of the crossroads at the Desert Inn Cafe. To see her shuck her rough house, boy, she's a lady every way. Yes, yeah. cool, Kissimmee River, near the Okeechobee Slough, lies the town of Yeehaw Junction, that's the home of Mama Blue. She pulled down the pike from Keenansville on the prod from Holapaw, a straddle, a big bull gator, and a standing off the law. Mama Blue, Mama Blue, you pixie, you. Ride that alligator, mama. Ride that thing. The alligator's pussyfooting. Going down the road. I guess the best stories of all of the ones that are true. The next song I'd like to do is another homemade song, one that I made up as a tribute to a man that I consider one of the finest traditionalists that we've ever had in the field of American folk and country music, and certainly one of the finest guitar players ever to lay hand on instrument in America, and that's Doc Watson from Deep Gap, North Carolina. I think everybody here knows and understands that Doc Watson is a blind man, blind, I think, nearly from birth. And perhaps you know him also as one of the finest gentlemen, a man of deep dignity and a profound sense of grace. And I'd like to tell you a story about Doc Watson, which to me is one of the warmest stories I know. I had a friend who went to see him one time, just didn't know him, never met him. He just popped in on him. I think it was a Sunday or something up in Deep Gap, and he found out where he lived, and he and his wife went to see him, and Doc and the family were there, and Doc said, "Well, come on in, son," and he just made him right at home. They served him some food, and they were having tea and whatever, and iced tea, sitting around on the front porch talking, playing little music, listening to records. And finally Doc said, "Well, son, I hope you'll understand, but I've got some chores to do, some things I've been working on here, but I don't want you to go. You just make yourself at home here. In fact, you just come on, follow me around here, and we'll continue our conversation." Directly, my friend found himself crawling around in Doc Watson's attic. Doc was up there rewiring his house. A blind man rewiring his house. He had a quarter-inch drill, and he was drilling studs, and he's pulling the wire through there, and then he'd crawl on down, and he'd do it some more, and then he was crimping the ends onto the junction boxes and setting up the switches and all that and the fuse box. And after about 20 minutes of this, my friend, who's outspoken, finally said, "Doc Watson, you're an amazing man." And Doc said, "What do you mean, son?" And he said, "Well, Doc Watson, I mean, a man with your, I mean, this kind of thing is pretty, a man could, dad, blame it, Doc, you're up here wiring your house and you're blind. I don't see how you could." And Doc said, son, it's not much of anything. I can tell a hot wire as good as the next fella." Isn't that a beautiful story? And a beautiful man. I'd like to play you a song I made up for somebody I admire very much. I believe this guitar has got the terminal trauma. Just have to do it string by string sometime. Be patient. Thank you.
The only thing worse than listening to a guitar being tuned is just have to listen to it being played out of tune. Here we go. This is called the Deep Gap Salute. Well, now, Will McLean has always said that Noah's Ark is somewhere in Florida. And I believe him. He said it was built in Florida, and he said they're going to find pieces of it someday. All right, I won't dispute that either. This is another homemade song called The Master Builders, and it tells exactly, well, it's an alternative version of how Noah's Ark could have been helped along. The elephant and the rabbit, the squirrel and the kangaroo, playing hopscotch in the jungle with nothing much to do. When along come Noah with a puzzle look and a blueprint in his hand. He say, I'm gonna build me a boat of gopher wood and go floating on the land. Last night I saw an awful sign while talking to the loon. Big Dipper turned up sideways, pouring silver on the moon. Oh, the bear was strangled in the flood, so swift it was and strong. And a starry ship was sailing there 300 cubits long. Noah decided to get some help to build the thing. Here's what he did. Well, some beavers cut the timber down, and an elephant laid the keel, and a sawfish cut the ribs and planks, and termites carved the wheel, and a crew of silkworms spun the sail while a hummingbird took stitch, and bumblebees caulked every seam with black bitumen pitch. Then she sailed above the mountaintops all on a frosty tide, and storm and flood and lightning and blast were turned at every side. Oh, the rainbow on Mount Ararat will tell us to this day how the animals built a boat for man and know the perfect way. Let's hope they stay on our side, friends. We need all the help we can get. How many people we got here from the country? Well, not a whole lot. Well, I ain't from the country either, but I've been there. You know, you're going to have to agree with me. Now, the hottest trend today is living in the country. Everybody wants to get next to Mother Nature, it looks like to me. What most people don't understand about living in the country is that it is fraught with peril. All sorts of dangers lurk in Arcadia. Yes, sir, you can't be too careful. Black widow spiders. I think the most dangerous thing ever happened to me in the Coochie Valley, Georgia, was when my Aunt Gwendolyn's 26-pound Persian tomcat jumped out of the top of a hemlock tree, landed on my left earlobe, and hung on with all 20 claws. Me and my boy cousins captured that cat and set up a kangaroo court. I was the judge. Well, sir, the court was just about to come to order. We spied a cloud of dust and a commotion coming. It was that meddlesome Narcissa Nunsucks, that community organizer, come to tell us that under the canons of American jurisprudence, that cat had the right of counsel. And what's more, if it could not provide its own counsel, it was incumbent upon us as representatives of the state to provide said counsel for said cat. Yeah, well, sir, we appointed her counsel for the cat. Her argument was novel for Habersham County. She contended that the cat was a classic schizophrenic, had at least 9 fully formed personalities. Moreover, she reasoned, how could culpability be ascribed when we didn't know which personality was guilty of the crime? Well, sir, the alleged crime, and me with blood running down out of my ear. Agamemnon argued for the prosecution and suggested an expeditious electrocution, and suggested furthermore that we administer 9 times as much voltage and wipe out the whole cult at one time. Well, now, I was a judge, so I got to make the decision. I found that cat guilty of a move-in violation. Let the punishment fit the crime, I say. 4 of my cousins held the cat down. That left me with the tongue depressor and the gallon of castor oil. I force-fed the entire contents of the jug to that miscreant. The last time I seen that furry felon, he was in the company of 15 other cats. 5 digging. 5 covering up, and 5 scouting new ground. Hanging around Arendelle's Purina store, who should walk up but Still Bill? Old Bill said, you know, he said, the young people are right.
If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the pollution. I'm going to get in step with the times, and I'm going to stop polluting everything. In fact, I'm going to get rid of my garbage compactor, and I'm going to get TV set, and I'm going to get rid of my electric fan, my air conditioner. I'm going to get rid of all that gasoline burning stuff and them oil, and I'm going to start putting in an organic garden and grow herbs, a kitchen garden. In fact, I'm going to start and sell my tractor and start plowing with mules. Now, that fool knew nothing about animals. He said, come on, let's go purchase some mules. I said, no, Bill, I don't believe it. He said, come on, let's go. We get in the truck and off we go. He said, we'll get some mules. He stopped at the first place he came to, and I mean to tell you, the couple of boys sitting up there on the porch, they flat knew a live one when they saw him coming. He said, hey, boys, I want to buy some mules. You got any? Well, mister, we ain't got no mules to sell, but we got some mule eggs we'll give you. Hey, did you hear that? He's going to give us some mule eggs. Come on. They took us out in the field, and they give us 2 watermelons. He said, look at that. Look at the size of those things. Hey, listen to that. Oh, I can hear him. Yeah, thank you, boys. Thank you. He put them in the truck. We're driving home. He said, we've got some mule eggs. We're going to put them in a cardboard box, incubate them with an incandescent bulb. He hits a bump, and the watermelon goes right off of the back of the truck, and he goes, poof. Oh, look. Look. We kill a little fella. Oh, well, we got one left. Come on, let's go back and clean it up and bury the point. Well, sir, he's backing off the road and turning around. While he's doing that, a jackrabbit comes out of the woods, and he starts eating the seeds and the meat of this watermelon in the road. Oh, Bill, sir, oh, we killed a little fella. We killed him. Look at that. Look at those ears. Look at the feet. Oh, it's alive. It's perfectly formed. I think we can save it. Come on, let's get it. We chase that jackrabbit 45 minutes through the woods in the bracken. You know what that fool finally said? He said, well, leave him go. I don't want anything on the place plows that fast anyhow.